This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It's the 27th of June, 2025, and we have the latest Indiana farm news, plus markets and weather. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Online, they're at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news, including a look at high oleic soybeans being used for feed for dairy cattle, and what's the role of lumber in the Indiana economy. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast includes more heat and unstable conditions, leading to thunderstorms the next few days. And more of the same yesterday, corn, beans, and wheat lower. Market analysis with Carl Setzer on the way on the Hat Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Investments from the Soy Checkoff benefiting dairy producers as well, and how lumber plays into Indiana's ag economy. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Farmers in 16 states grew high oleic soybeans on more than 1.1 million acres in 2023 and on 800,000 acres in 2024. There is potential to reach 3 million acres in the future. The primary use has been for food, but investments by the United Soybean Board have proven that high oleic soybeans are also good for dairy cattle feed.
June being Dairy Month, you know, it is great to highlight this newfound benefit from high oleic soybeans going into dairy rations, improving that overall butterfat yield.
That's Don Weiss, chair of the United Soybean Board's Audit and Evaluation Committee. He farms near Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I, as a farmer, really like this from the standpoint that we are paving the way for a more stable demand foundation going forward when we can rely on both food uses, which haven't gone away. They're still there. But now we're bringing this exciting new feed usage of high oleics into the mix as well.
We says this research and the benefits shown is a significant example of why U.S. soybean farmers pay into their checkoff to promote the industry and bring big changes and developments that ultimately come back to the farm.
The high oleic program has been a perfect example, I guess, is how I would describe it, as a place where we've spent significant checkoff dollars but are now seeing significant returns that are coming back to our farms. And one of the pieces that was taking time to grow is just being able to offer this to all U.S. soybean farmers. And we're not there yet, but now we're in 16 states. And with this continued development with dairy, you know, it's going to expand into other states as well when they are trying to partner with other dairy locations around the country.
Weiss calls this a win-win. Increasing demand for soybeans in this tighter margin environment, while also providing increased milk fat yield and increased profit potential to the dairy industry. And there could be more.
There's some additional work being done in swine right now, too, to look at this, so we may not be done yet.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. When you think about Indiana's ag industry, you might not think about hardwoods and lumber, which play a huge role in Indiana's economy. Here's CJ Miller.
Indiana's hardwood industry has an annual economic impact of over $10 billion each year for the state's economy. In fact, Indiana is the number one producer of wooden hardwood and office furniture in the U.S. Much of the lumber that is harvested and used here in Indiana comes from private woodland owners.
There's over 4.5 million acres of forest land in Indiana, and of that, 85% of that's privately owned. So a lot of farmers and family-owned forest land.
And that's Tyler Smith, sales manager of Cole Hardwood in Logansport. He also says the lumber and hardwoods harvested provide much of the raw materials for many Indiana businesses, such as the flooring that's produced by Indiana Hardwood Specialist in Spencer, or for Batesville Casket in Ripley County. Smith also says there's a huge market for many of those finished hardwood products outside the U.S.
We just ship to China, Vietnam, I mean, also all over Asia, Europe. They like U.S. hardwoods because they know what they're getting. It's graded. We have standards, whereas maybe some other areas that are less developed, you know, they don't always know what they're going to get.
Smith adds that the hardwoods and lumber not only benefit Indiana's economy, but the industry and their products also benefit the environment.
The sustainability of hardwoods is really taking hold, and people are starting to realize is that these products are here forever. It's not a build it in 3 years, you know, we're going to get something new. You know, it lasts a lifetime. And I think that's a really good note for landowners. You know, they're going to be able to be part of this market for years to come. As forest growth is, it grows faster than we can harvest it, actually. So the forests get bigger each year.
According to the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, Indiana's hardwood sector also supports 70,000 jobs. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Pretty boring outlook here, mostly due to the fact that what's happening here today is going to be the same as what happened yesterday, which is the same as the day before. We've got heat-based instability. We're continuing to see a moisture try and ride over the top of a heat ridge that's still parked over southeastern United States areas. And we're in the path of that, so heat-based instability each afternoon, pop-up scattered showers and thunderstorms. That's going to be a story for today, just like it was yesterday. It'll be the story for tomorrow, like today, and for Sunday, like tomorrow. This is what we're going to deal with over the next few days. Finally seeing a frontal boundary sweep through the area on Monday, mostly midday, afternoon, and early evening. Right now I'm penciling in a quarter to three quarters of an inch of rain from that frontal boundary. Now with these thunderstorms that are around here the next several days, all rain totals between now and the end of Monday, well, let's just say Tuesday morning, I think have a wide range. We could be as low as a quarter to half an inch in spots, but if we see areas get hit by thunderstorms multiple days in a row, easily these thunderstorms can create heavy rain, so 2 inches or more are possible. So wide range of precipitation potential here all the way through that frontal boundary passage next Monday. Behind the front, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, looking pretty good. Lower humidity, a little bit cooler, pleasant with good sunshine, good dry down. Should be a nice place to be. Once we get through the evening of the 4th of July, I think we're fine for fireworks in most areas, but I think we also see another round of moisture. Big weather system coming through from the west and northwest. Rain and thunderstorms overnight Friday night into Saturday. That'll interrupt the holiday weekend just a little bit. Rain totals can be anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches. Strong to severe weather is possible, but I do think that we then turn the page and get slightly better weather going into the 6th. So we'll have to watch and see how it all unfolds. Timing still can change quite a bit. We're well over a week out. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Just below even in corn and beans, another sell-off in wheat as well. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review, brought to you by Purple Wave Auction, where farm equipment finds new life. No reserve online auctions with the local touch you trust and the national reach you need. PurpleWave.com. Sold means sold. Final numbers from Thursday trade coming up. First, market analysis. I grabbed it at the end of the session from Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Short covering overnight, but Carl, it did not hold up. Corn was back and forth, but really right around steady. Beans mostly steady and mostly lower. And another down day in the wheat market. So it continues to be a really rough week with markets on the defensive almost the entirety of it.
Yeah, this entire week, really, fundamentally, you can throw just everything that has taken place pretty much out the window. A lot of the pressure has been credited to U.S. weather outlooks, a little bit more promising in some areas of the Corn Belt. The western regions picked up some rain, a little bit drier in the eastern Corn Belt. But the bottom line is, this last full week of trade in June is almost always driven by this positioning that we see. Last trading day of June, and this year it's the 30th, next Monday. It's first notice day on the July contracts. It's month and quarter end. And then we get the planted acreage update along with the quarterly stocks numbers. And so when we have all of this data coming at us at once, a lot of traders just simply shore up positions and move out of the market. We have seen a lot of that this year for this week's trade. And like I said, fundamentally, we do have plenty of support underneath the market. We just got to get through this little time frame here for traders to really start focusing on those fundamentals more than the positioning side.
Carl, what are support levels we're looking at now for corn and beans?
Looking at December corn, we traded down and put in a new contract low today, put in a contract low on July corn, several contracts here, and bounced off. So we are right at major support on corn levels. Looking at soybeans, new crop right around that $10 mark, we're finding some pretty good support. Traded down towards it today and yesterday, but we did find some support, some buying to bring us back up. So we are at some major support levels on the chart, and we're also starting to lean towards being technically oversold and, more importantly, undervalued in the global market. That really is the perfect storm for a commodity rally.
What about Chicago wheat? And we do definitely see some harvest pressure there. Is it possibly getting oversold as well?
Yeah, wheat is starting to lean towards that overextended to the downside. It is a lot more harvest pressure on wheat right now than anything. Plus, we just don't have big demand numbers to start out our new crop marketing year, which is getting underway on wheat. Russia keeps raising their crop forecasts as well. When that takes place, it does tend to put a little bit more pressure on U.S. wheat. We're also hearing some rumblings of some quality concerns in this new crop wheat, maybe a little bit lower on protein. That may limit our demand, so we'll be watching that very closely as we traverse the next several weeks here.
And traversing into the new week, Monday, it's USDA. End of June reports, stocks, acreage, could that be a big one?
Yeah, it's going to be, I feel, a big one this year. Interesting to see trade really looking for pretty much a steady to slightly higher acreage number on both corn and soybeans from what we had released back in March. Wheat plantings expected to dip a little bit, so it wouldn't take too much to get the market shook up there. Let's not forget about the quarterly stocks numbers that are coming out, though. Trade expecting pretty much a similar soybean inventory from last year. Wheat inventory expected to be up about 150 million bushels from a year ago. The corn stocks, though, 350 million bushels less than last year is the average trade estimate. Those numbers might actually have a little bit more of an impact on the market than the acreage data.
Carl Setzer Market Commentary. Get Carl at Consus Ag Consulting, 989-506-1587. On the Hat Thursday Market Review, down 3/4 on July corn, 409.5. September, 404, a penny lower. Dees 421, that was a dip of a penny and a half. 2.5 lower July beans, 1022 3/4. August, 1027 3/4, down a penny and 3/4. 2 cents lower November, 1016.5. Leading to the downside, July wheat, 521, 7.25 lower. The meats were mixed in the end. August live cattle, 209.20, up 22. August lean hogs, 110.25, 97 cents lower. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.